We'll turn back to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles. And I want to just turn aside from the things we were going through, not miracles this time, but the words here, the gifts and the working, because they're important. I notice that all across the world, quarrelling is increasing enormously. Whether it's gun crime or knife fighting, mostly it's over possession of money or power. You watch politicians quarrel, you watch anyone in the world. Our homes are full of quarrels. I don't think it is wrong to say that Christians too have quarrels among themselves. You see any brothers and sisters grow up and quarrelling marks it. And their parents are always having to stop it. Quarrelling is the great mark of our day, and it's getting worse and worse. Russia has obviously set out to quarrel with the West and use her gas power to hurt, and it's obvious the Muslims have a quarrel with everybody who lives anywhere near them and wish to hurt anybody who gets anywhere near them and across them. The Jews and the Gaza people are quarrelling flat out. Everywhere there's quarrels. Now, Herod was typical. He did not mind what he did in splitting and quarrelling as long as he won. And that's exactly what's going on in our homes. Two proud creatures live in one house and both are determined to have their own way. It's the same with our politics, it's the same with our nations. Quarrelling is the great mark. Now, as you look at all this quarrelling, let's go one further in it. And it's this. When Jesus Christ came on earth, he came for a very simple purpose. And it was to show people the fellowship of the mystery. And you and I are put here to show other people the fellowship of the mystery. It's in Ephesians 3, 8 and 9. And it's very easy to read. Look, it says, and in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the unity, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. It's fellowship in this way. Who rules the universe? God. Who has second place in the universe in his office? The Lord Jesus. Who has third place and silent place and obscure place? The Holy Spirit. That is exactly it. Now the universe is one. And we have here verses which are teaching us that above all things we need unity. Stop quarrelling is what the verses say, and that's a word for the whole year ahead. Now, as an illustration of this, you look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. And it says, but to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So you have been given gifts of grace which are to make you live at peace with all men. And if you cannot do that, don't tell me about your gift of grace, because I don't believe you. Unless I can see in you, you don't worm your way, you don't push your way, you don't get your way all the time and try and force other people aside, I do not believe it. The only thing that convinces people, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another. And Gibbon, who was didn't love Christians in the decline and fall of Rome, but he was a very sharp man, described all the goings on of the Christians in quarrelling and said, behold how these Christians love one another, in a very sarcastic tone. Well, that's what the world is doing all the time. And it's very, very important then that in 1 Corinthians we realize that Paul is trying to draw the Corinthian church out of quarreling with each other, which they were very good at, back into unity with each other at a much deeper level than they'd ever known. Sadly, they didn't learn the lesson very well, and we know from 1 Clement, written just outside the New Testament, that they were still at it after Paul's death. Well, we can go on quarrelling. Everybody has the right to quarrel. You can go on quarrelling till you die. But if you're more sensible, you'll think about the gifts of the Spirit, which are given to stop us quarrelling. And they're the main source of quarrelling in the church. The church cannot abide each other because they all have different views of the gifts of the Spirit. Whereas if we look at it today, you'll see the gifts of the Spirit are to unite us. For this purpose, God has given each his own gift. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 5. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are differences of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, we have this wonderful gift of God's Holy Spirit to make us get on with one another. That is why I always think God takes a church like this. He takes a large bag and he drops into it one character who has a nasty side to him, and another character, and she has quite a nasty side to her, and a third, and does up the string of the bag, and they quarrel like cats in a sack. They go for each other, and God has to teach those people to get on with one another. That's why he put them all in the bag together, so that they learn that to get on with them. That's what the principle of your home. God set it up so that you'd all be stuck in the same house and have to learn how to get on with one another. It happened in my home, it happens in your home, it happens in every home on earth. And God is doing it deliberately. He's teaching us a lesson on the fellowship of the mystery. And the fellowship of the mystery is a mystery to this world. It has all sorts of ideas of putting ecology right, very little of getting on with one another in peaceful ways. Now, we saw then these gifts, and we, as I say, have reached healings, but we've done healings, but we're not going on to miracles this time. Let's turn to the word gifts itself, because it's important to remember that this list of gifts is not exhaustive. Paul is taking illustrations. Each one has received a gift, but for what purpose? Well, now look at the five words that are used by the Apostle Paul when he writes about the gifts. There's just five words he used, and they're very, very important. The first word he uses is always spirituals. It's verse chapter 12, verse 1, concerning spiritual gifts. Now remember, gifts isn't there, but we believe it is gifts, but it's spirituals. Now that word is used 26 times in the New Testament, of which 25 times it means characterized or controlled by God's Holy Spirit. And a one use is in Ephesians 6:12, which it speaks of the devil. And you'll find in Ephesians 6:12, if you look at it, that it's an unpleasant use. You see, it's spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the only other use of the word than in meaning God's kingdom. Now, do you see what the word is getting at? When Jesus was accused of doing things by the devil, casting out devils by the devil, he said, if a kingdom is divided against itself, it cannot stand. So when it says spiritual wickedness, it means that that the devil's kingdom is undivided. It doesn't quarrel with each other. You watch the devil's kingdom all unite against Christ anywhere. You watch the left wing in politics and Islam unite immediately against any real Christian. You watch anywhere you like and you'll see this unity take place. There's a unitedness about the devil's kingdom, and he always has it united. Now this word spirituals means that Christ's kingdom is united, and the worst thing any one of us can do against the Lord Jesus is to quarrel. Inwardly, outwardly, subtly, really, fiercely, gently, holding a grudge in our hearts, or getting on with quarrelling in a most open way. That is the thing that Paul is against. And that is why God has given you spirituals, uniting. Now the next word is charismata, and that means gifts. Now that's a very plain word here. Verse 4, diversities of gifts. Now what does he mean by this? Well, gifts are something that grace brings. Charis is grace. Grace brings something to you. Now grace means that it's a gift. The idea is it's received by grace and it's for our mutual help with each other. You see, look at verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That's the purpose of the gifts. And you look at chapter 13. The greatest of these is charity, love, in verse 13. So that's what the gifts are about. Now the third word used of the gifts is administrations in verse 5. And that means simply the Lord Jesus Christ put aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself and washed his disciples' feet. That is what ministry, he said, he said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Can I ask you, to the other members of our little church, what way have you ministered this year? What have you done which would out of your way to minister to them? That is gifts. The gifts are indistinguishable. Gifts are not given to people to lie abed with. Gifts are not given to people to swell their heads. Gifts are not given to people to glorify them. But in love, serve one another. Ministrations, that's the next word for them. And then you look at verse 6, operations. Diversities of operations. It means energizings or workings. Energized by God. So God is energizing you. Now look, if you have a football team, who gets the passes to them? The person who scores. So the moment a man begins scoring, the others will pass the ball to him regularly. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. If you want the gifts of God's Holy Spirit, then show yourself worthy of them. Use them when you get them. And when you get them, and you need to start young getting them, remember that by the time he left university, Whitfield was the world's preacher, the greatest preacher in the world. You don't have to wait till you're white-haired and 70 to do it. God uses young men, young women. God uses youth. Give him the best years. Give him the years before you say, I have no pleasure in them. And then look again at verse 7. And this is the fifth and last. It says in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Now, this is the setting forth of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit being manifest, not in you as a person, but in you as a church. So our church needs to be the body of Christ. And that is what Paul calls it a few verses later, a body, all with different limbs. So perhaps you're the eye. Now how can the church get on if the eye goes and puts itself out or shut out or says, well, I won't come to church anymore because I'm not the tongue, or I won't come to church anymore because I'm not the foot. You see, we all have our own place. And what he's getting at here by these manifestations is this is the special way that Jesus is shown forth by the Spirit in our church in a unique way which only you can do. No one else can do it. You've got a niche in our church, a niche, and in that niche is you, and nobody else fits it, and nobody else can do it, and it needs you. God put you here for a purpose, and that is what it's for. Now, we've seen then this wonderful array of words, all pointing at unity, all controlled by the Holy Spirit, all of the grace of God, all empowered by the Lord, and all to the members of his body. Now, what are we at? What we're at is building each other up. You see, you're like a ruin that has fallen down through sin. And what God is doing is he laid the foundation when you were saved, but he's building you up. How does he do this building up of each one of us? Through each other. So each of us takes a trowel in our hand and builds up the next one, like a builder builds a wall. And this is the important thing about the gifts, so that Christ becomes manifest in the church to the glory of God, and all can see it. With these divine gifts, these enablements, these endowments and energizings and servings. As we minister the Holy Spirit, he empowers us, and so we become mature and like Christ. So our little congregation becomes Christ-like. The whole purpose of the ministry then is to build each other up. So then, you minister to me, I minister to you. And each of us in our own ways, and that's God's purpose in giving the gift of the Spirit. And more, we help each other in certain areas. You see, God may employ one to speak, but that doesn't mean they have all the gifts. There are other gifts which other people have which that person lacks. And they need them. And they're taught them by watching the other person in action. And we learn an enormous amount from each other by just watching. Not by what we say, but by what we see. That's the normal way of learning. You see, Satan has control of man's soul. And the Prince Emmanuel has various great guns which he's bringing to the siege. And he's aiming them at the ear gate, that's speaking, and at the eye gate, that's our example. He's aiming them at various gates to knock the gates down and bring peace into that life. And that is what God is doing all the way through. So we're interdependent. One has the gift of helps. Another has the gift of prophecy. Whatever it is. So if one fails, all are crippled and all drag on. There's obedience behind these gifts. Now the principle is in verse 11. These worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So each of us has a variety of gift. Now, this is very important, because there are various abilities from God, and they all come together in person in one gift. Now, you will say to me, then I have a gift. Now, I see it with prayer meetings and Bible studies and church council meetings. I've always seen this in the ministry. When you get to the church council meeting, people who never would bother with a Bible study and have never been seen dead in a prayer meeting will come. And what they feel is they have the gift of administration. They have the gift of business ability. Or they say, I've not got the gift of all this Bible study and praying and that, but I know business when I see it. I can make sure the money in this church is spent right, and I can make sure that none of it is wasted by foolish other people in the church. You see, each of us thinks we have one gift and don't have to bother with the other areas, but God is saying the gifts are given, so each of us may in the end have all the gifts, and each of us help each other into different gifts. One brings one gift, one brings another, and we all make them up. So each of us is built up, and the ruin is restored, and man's soul is opened to the Prince. Now, what does it mean by gift here? because it's very important. Well, now, take Timothy. He had a gift. Paul says in 1 Timothy, if you turn with me for a moment, chapter 4 and verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee by the laying on of my hands. Well, in verse 14. Now that's a singular gift. So Timothy had one gift. How did this gift manifest itself? Well, you look at it. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, you look then at the gift he has. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, preach the word. So obviously he was a preacher, and he could reprove and rebuke and exhort. Now that's one gift he had. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. That's 2 Timothy 4:4. Sorry, it's 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, given thee by prophecy, by the laying on of my hands. Well, one is preach the word, and so he had the gift of preaching. Now you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. I've got the wrong thing. It's 1 Timothy 4, 5. I've lost my thing there. But it's do the work of an evangelist. Now he is to do the work of an evangelist.
2 Timothy 4, 5.
Sorry. Do the work of an evangelist. That's right. Now, Timothy's gift then was preaching and evangelism. That's very plain. And if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. So Timothy had the gift of teaching. So Timothy has all three parts of this gift, this one gift. It's a diverse gift that Timothy has. And if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, you'll see again he has reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and exhortation. So he's an exhorter as well. What I'm getting at is your gift is multiple. None of you has a single gift. Your single gift has many facets, and we cannot do without those facets in the church. Never think of yourself as just good at business or good with figures or something like that, or good at doing something. God has given you many gifts, and it's up to you to stir up the gift that is in you. You can let the gifts lie dormant, or you can use them. You can go through life and wrap them in a napkin and say to God at the end, I knew thee that thou wast a hard man. And God will say to you, thou wicked and unfaithful servant. You see, you've got many gifts, and God increases what you use and takes away what you don't have. Take away from him there's his talents, and give them to him that hath ten. And they said, Lord, but he hath ten. And he said, unto him that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not shall be taken even that which he hath. You stir up your gifts. You stir them up early. You never stop stirring them up. You have to say to yourself, soul, I have gifts. Soul, I'll use my gifts, even if it hurts, even if it's a lot of work, even if it only runs me into trouble all the time. That's the way these gifts are used to bring us through. God wants the increase. You remember the unfruitful fig tree? Because it yielded no fruit, it was to be cut down because it cumbered the ground. Do you know what I often think as I see the obituaries in papers? Yes, there's another cumber ground going. What did he ever do in his life? They say, no harm to anyone. Yes, he certainly didn't. He sat at home, looked after his own affairs and his wife and children, never did much outside except go out for the occasional pint and everything, and he expects to get to heaven. It doesn't doesn't work like that. God expects of each of us an increase, and he will have an increase, and he's looking for increase. Now, at the end of 2008, what has increased in your life, in your spiritual gifts, since January the 1st, 2008? What has changed in your life? What has become more relevant to you? What has become more dear to you in Jesus? Have you thought about the unity of it all? It's very, very important. This is what Paul's getting at. Now, you're to minister based on your own personality. You see, you take a field of flowers. Now, even if they're all Michaelmas daisies, every one of those is different. Every bud is different. Even if there are two or three flowers on one stem, every one of them is different. You take the bees. No, two bees are the same. Take ants. You take whatever you like. God loves to make unity by diversity. And that's what he's doing in his church. Now, each one then has received a variety of gifts. They're called charismata. Now, Paul applies this word charismata to all sorts of things. He uses it 16 times in all his letters. Don't get too classified. And you say, I have only one gift. I say to you again, you have many gifts, but they're all counted as one. And you say to me, well, I can't do very much in the church. You can do very much indeed, because if you bring all your gifts and stir them up, you'll do very well indeed. You see, when God says to Timothy through Paul, stir up the gift that is in thee, Timothy undoubtedly had a weak constitution. He was taking on the leadership of the most hated organization in the world and the most disputed and disliked organization. The reason people don't join us is very simple. It's not that we're nasty. It's not anything. It is they're afraid to join us. I can tell you, I get letters from young men who say that we're right and they're going into the Church of England ministry. But they never reply once you say to them, now obey your conscience. Because it's obvious what their conscience is saying. They never write to you again because they know very well that if they did, they're throwing away countless golden things in their lives. You see, it's this. You and I are here, and we're here together because God wants to show through us that we're not easily discouraged. We go on. We don't have these fits of discouragement when we lie down and get locked up in Doubting Castle and have to search for the key of faith. We just go on day by day. It's not stiffening the lip. It's not summoning up all our strength. It's going on in spiritual strength, and each one can have it. Now, the point is in verse 28. God hath set some in the church. And it's in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It's there very plainly, he says, and he gave some, and then he lists. Now, he's not just talking about men there, but the gifts those men have. There are apostles and prophets. Some say men are the gifts, they're not. Is there a gift of apostleship that we could get? Is there a gift of prophecy which we can get? We're not told to seek to be prophets or anything. There are gifted men, men with special ministries. Now, when you look at verse 11, all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And if you look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, the other great chapter on this, you'll find it says here, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. These things are put among us. Now, do you know that the word gift in Greek is doria? Doria. Now, that's very important. It's not so much that its quality is free, but that it's gratuitously given. Its nature is scattered abroad by God as he will. We didn't choose it, so we each have these free supernatural gifts. And it's in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So the emphasis is not on the way these gifts are given, but the nature of the gifts. They're freely given. Now, in conclusion, you have a gift, and it's a spiritual gift, and it's controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, how much control has the Holy Spirit of you will be seen by the way you build others up and are united. And it gives no reason for pride or vainglory, for it's a gift of grace, quite undeserved, and it leads to unity. And it's for service for each other, so each one of us can be united to the other by taking the lowlier position. That is very important. And it's empowered or energized or operated by God through his Holy Spirit, so that we have to humble ourselves under God's Holy Spirit. And it contrasts us between God's unity and the world's diversity, and the Trinity is shown by the way you and I are united. And these manifest God. God, the Trinity in unity. Now, that is all we have time for, and far more. But remember, Amen.